The Rambam starts off Hilchas Tainiyos with one mitzvah. It's a sesei achas. The Rambam starts off the whole Mishnah Torah starts off with the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He calls the Gemara the 613 mitzvahs and he lists them all off. In every section, Mada Havas Man, in every section, he tells you how many mitzvahs he's going to cover. Until by the time you get to the end of the Mishnah Torah, he covered all the Taryag mitzvahs. So Hilchas Tainis is going to discuss one mitzvah. Kisav v'machalim le'artzachem al atzaret avreshah ha'ariyosem v'chatzoytzois. He's supposed to mitzvah says him in Atar lizok lohariya v'chatzoytzois. Lizok means to daven takarish baruch hu and to daven fervently lohariya, to blow shofar, that it should be tefillah sheishim ademois, that should be a serious davening. And then the Rabbanon, there's a mitzvah to fast when you have an Eish Tzora. What is the idea of fasting the Eish Tzora? So the Gemara tells us that Choni HaMagol lived in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, and on one occasion there was no rain, and that's what, if there's no rain in Eretz Yisrael, nothing is going to grow. There won't be anything to eat, and the behemoth will die, the people can die. It's a serious hakana. Years ago, in the days of the Tanaim, there would be Gozer Tainus if there wouldn't be any rain. In recent years, it's hard to be Gozer Tainus, so the Chachamim would institute, everyone should say, additional tefillahs, but sometimes it would be Gozer Tainus. So a couple of years ago, some of the younger Rabbanim from the Rabbanut thought there should be Gozer Tainus. So the older Rabbanim from the old Yeshua were laughing at them. And they said that that's ridiculous, that today they know how to desalinate water. There's a Mediterranean full of water, it's just it's going to cost a lot of money. But there's no sakanas nefoshes today, so you don't have to, you're not gozer tainus anymore. They said that everything in the Mishnah doesn't apply bizman hazeh. But midirabbanan, there's such an inyan when there's a real eis tzor, maybe now at Tziris Gishamim is not the sakana that it used to be years ago, because you can desalinate water. But when there is an Estor, it's a mitzvah midrabbanan to fast. What is fasting all about? So the Gemara in the end of the second parak in Brochus comments on the Mishnah that the Mishnah says if a person is mispalol osa tvilosa keva and tvilosa tachanunim, if a person davens bikvias, so it's not tachanunim. What does that mean? So one pshat in the Gemara is the person always davens at 7:45 minyan, shachris. He always davens 7:45, or he always davens at 7 o'clock minyan, whatever. So that's not ain't vilosa tachnunim. You should really daven vasikin. Every day the sun rises differently. You can't always daven at 7 o'clock minyan, 7:45 minyan. So the Mishnah is encouraging everybody that they should daven vasikin. Okay, that's one pshat. It's a nice idea. Everyone should daven vasikin. And then the other pshat Gemara says, oh, is it tefilosa keva? If a person just says the text that's printed in the Siddur, and he doesn't add anything, so ain't tefilosa tachnunim. You should always add tachnunim achat tefilosa. You should add tachnunim if you have an exam, so say something in atochenu l'adam das, or if you have a date, so daven to the Rabban Shalom that you shouldn't fall in, or if you have something, you have an interview for a job or something, whatever comes up. You always have to add that you shouldn't just say the text that's printed. So the Gemara quotes different Tanaim and Amoraim used to recite additional Trinas after the close of the Shemana Esrei. So one of the Chachamim, when he would be fasting, would add a Tfili, Ratzim Al Fanecha. When a person fasts, so he loses a little weight. So mi'atchel be'vidomi, you don't produce as much blood as you usually would have if you would have eaten food, and you lose an ounce of weight. So mi'atchel be'vidomi should be considered as if I brought a korban to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's just like Choni HaMagol. That Choni HaMagol lived in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, and when there was Atziris Gishamim, he would daven for rain. So first the Gemara says he would go into the Beis HaMikdash and bring a korban, and then he would go out of the Beis HaMikdash and daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam that he should bring the rain. So that's the mitzvah on a tainus sibur. Min HaTorah, if you have a tzara, you should blow chatzaitzus, ariyasem chatzaitzus, and be mispalel. And with the Rabbanon, you should enhance the tefillah by bringing a carbon, and bismanazeh can't bring a carbon. So bismanazeh, we enhance the tefillahs by fasting a little bit. The Rosh, the Gemara says that if a person is not mekabel tainus in advance, the person just fasts the whole day, and he wasn't obligated to fast. Either you have to have a takanas chachamim, you're mechuyif to fast, mitam takanas chachamim, or mitam minig, whatever it is, or if you're not, no minig, and there's no takanas chachamim, and no dinim, minatur, yom kippur, you're mechuyif to fast, minatur. And if you're not mechuyif to fast, you just fast on your own, then the Gemara said there's no kiyum at all. Just like, let's say, a person will bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, it was ever magdush the korban in the first place, so you have to be magdush the korban first. So here it says, Kachu Tzom, Kiru Atzora. Gemara says that being the Kabbal, the Tainus, is like Hakdoshas HaKorban. Kachu Tzom, Kiru Atzora. So the Gemara says that a person wants to have a Tainus Yochid, has to be the Kabbal Tainus before the day begins. Even though he's not going to fast by Laila, but the Gemara says he has to be the Kabbal Tainus by Mincha before, because the Leil HaTainus is also considered Yom HaTainus. Rav Soloveitchik used to give a shiur every year on his father's yahrzeit, on Gimel Shvat. So the shiur always was on the Yoni Yerachaim, on tzitzis and tefillin and davening and benching. Easy things. Then one year he said that he has yahrzeit for his father, and all these shiurim that he said in Yerachaim, these are all things that he worked on his own. It's not right. He should really say, it was something that he heard from his father. So one year he gave a shiur on Oseis Niknes Ben Mesira. If you have a shtar halvor that someone owes you $1,000, and you want to transfer the right to collect the money to someone else, how will you makna the shtar? So it's a machlek is satanoim, and a machlek is avishadim had a paskin. So he gave a heavy duty shiur on shtaris. And then he saw that most of the people were malabatim, most of the people couldn't follow. So the next year he said, last year was an experiment and it didn't succeed. We're going back to Orach Chaim again. Because the whole purpose of the Shia, he wanted everybody to understand. By other people, they give a Shia, so they gauge how high level the Shia was. When did everybody get lost? After 5 minutes? After 3 minutes? After 10 minutes? And by Rav Soloveitchik, the high level of the Shia was that no one got lost for 4 hours. Everybody followed from the beginning to the end. That's considered a successful Shia. Anyway, so one year the shiur was about inyani tainus. So he explained that the neder tainus, when the person is makabel neder tainus in advance, is not an isa chevtze and it's not an isa gavra. The Gemara says on the first half in the Dorim that the neder is an isa chevtze and the shua is an isa gavra. So he said it's not that let's say a person will take a neder. I asa all food and drink ba'achilu b'shtia for the course of the day. He can't say aneinu. That's not a tainus. Or if he asks the chefze, he asks the food. Or let's say he accepts upon himself, I will not eat food or drink tomorrow. That's an isa gavra. So that neither a neder nor a shvua expresses what a tainus is all about. He showed a Rambam that you have to be mekabel tainus and say, hey, betainus lemocher. And mitzvah so that tainus is lehisanus. He thought that tainus is not an isa chevtze, it's not an isa gavra, it's a different thing. And the Rambam has a din of hatfasa. The Rambam has three different examples of hatfasa. Let's say a person takes a neder, he's supposed to lose weight, so he takes a neder, he asks all of the cookies b'achilo. Then the doctor tells him it's not enough, he asks a cookie, he's going to eat potato chips. So he says the potato chips should be like the cookies. Then the doctor says, but not a fat popcorn, whatever. So he said, the popcorn should be like the potato chips. That's hatfasa, chefze bechefze. He asked the chefze of the cookies. Then he says, the potato chips should be like the cookies. Then he says, the popcorn should be like the potato chips. So that's a hatfasa, chefze bechefze. One learns that from Sukkim, that there's such a thing. Then the Rama has a person says, harini nazir. Another person says, Turkey de Dibur, Afani Kamo. Then the third one says, Turkey de Dibur, the second one, Afani Kamo. So that's a hatvasa, the haflaw. That's a hatvasa, the amira that he said should relate to me. And that's why it only works. The Rambam writes it, it's Tuk De Dibur. The Gemara never really says it. But the Rambam understands like that, that the Hatvasa, the Dibur, Hatvasa, the Hafla is only if it's Tuk De Dibur. If Tuk De Dibur, the Dibur is gone already, so there's nothing to have Hatvasa about. Then the Rambam has a third kind of Hatvasa, based on a Gemara, that if a person took a neder, that he's going to fast on his father's first yahrzeit. And then next year, he says, tomorrow should be like last year, like the yahrzeit. And last year he fasted. Last year he took a neder, vitzom, the Rambam adds a word, vitzom. And he fasted last year on the yahrzeit. And today he says, I want tomorrow is the yahrzeit. Tomorrow should be like last year's yahrzeit. So that's hatfasa also. It's not Tuchah de Dibur, it's not, what is it, a Cheftza? So if it's a Cheftza, why is it Davke if Tzom, even if Loi Tzom should also be good? Let's say he took an edda not to eat the cookies, and he started eating some of the cookies. Then he says, the potato chip should be like the cookies. So it's also a good Hatfasa, even if he violated part of the edda. Should also be a good Hatfasa. So why does Ramah sell the edda Tzom? That was all that you thought. That it's a different kind of hatfasa. It's hatfasa b'chal Hashem. That the Yom HaTaynes has a chal Hashem, Yom HaTaynes on it. And if he actually fasts, then it strengthens the shame of the Yom HaTaynes. If he violated it, so it's a weaker shame, Yom HaTaynes. He was kaveh Yom HaTaynes, and he didn't. It didn't lead to anything. But if he was kaveh the day as a Yom HaTaynes and actually fasted, then it elevates the level of the Shem Yoy Matayin. So then you can say, tomorrow should be like the Yahrzeit of last year when I fasted. So that's Hatvasa in a Chal Hashem. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, that if Yoy Matayin is a special din, on the level of the Raisa, we don't have any psukim about this. Maybe the whole thing is only with the Rabbanon. Chal Hashem Yoy Matayin. So the din is that a person has to be Mekabel the Tainis Mebod Yom. Before the day begins, that's based on the pasuk Kachu Tzom Kiru Atzor pasuk and Novi. So the Rosh in Maseches Tainis quotes Rabbi Natan. We don't have it in Tosus. Rosh quotes Rabbi. We don't have a lot of Tosus in. When the printer was Gutenberg, what was his name? When they were printing the first Gemara, and he had some rabbi decide which Tosus to put on the page, and not all the Tosus fit. So sometimes they cut a Tosus in half. You're missing half the tesis, and sometimes they left the tesis out in Gansen. So that's why we're missing a lot of these tesis. So the Rosh quotes the tesis. So the Rosh quotes this Rabbi Natam, that if a person in the Kabbal Nedatayin is believe, it's also binding. Why should that be so? The Gemara in Shavuos, and Daf Chavov learns that from the Pasuk. Nevish Kisushava Levate Bisvasayin. The Gemara believe it's Achlo Haitzi Bisvasov. Person's Mekabbal Ashvua believe is not Chal. You have to pronounce it with your lips. So why does Rabbi Natan say over here that the Neder Tainus is Chal Belev? What one? Quotes the Rabbi Natan.
I think so.
Oh, I forgot. Okay, good. Okay, so it's there. It belongs in Tainus. Okay, the Rosh is in Tainus. Good. I apologize. It is in Tainus. Okay. Yeah, we're lucky. Sometimes the Taisus, they were nice enough to print it in a different Masechta. Okay, yeah. But sometimes they got some missing. So this Rabbi Natan is unclear exactly what he's driving at. So some of the early Achrayim understood, I think the Trumas Hadeshin understood, Rabbi Chaim Oiz has a tshuva, where he quotes this. The Trumas Hadeshin understood the Rabbi Natan is making a basic difference between a neder and a shvur. That the pasuk in Parshas Vayikra that says nefesh kisushova levati b'sosam lohar lahetiv, that you need levati b'sosam, and the Gemara says in Shvuah skoma beliba tzoch lahetzi b'svasov, is only by Shvuah. By nedarim you never need levati b'sosam. All nedarim machal balev. On the first Mishnah in nedarim, the Tosfos printed on the side of the page points out that from the Mishnah would appear that is not so. Not like this Trumas Hadeshin understood the Rabbi Natan. Because the Mishnah says that there's a din of Yadis Nedarim. There's a din of Yadis Lishwa. There's a din of Yad Leneder. What does it mean, Yad? Yad means You're supposed to have an amira. So what if a person said a half a sentence? Based on the half a sentence that he said, everybody understands what the rest of the sentence is. So that's called yodis nador. So if the din is at a neder is chal b'leiv, so what do you need a chiddush din that yesh yad le nador? Even if he didn't say half a sentence, he just goma b'libo. So the neder is also binding. So from the opening mishnah nedarim, the Tosis on the opening mishnah says when the mishnah would appear that in order for a neder to be binding, it's the same din that the Gemara understood from the pasuk levati b'sasayim that shvur needs amira. So you see the neder needs amira as well. So the achrayim dingzach with the raya of the Tosis dizum, even though they didn't have any rishonim, just as the Trumas Hadeshin says, Rabbi Natan disagrees. The Rishonim didn't have any Rishonim. They didn't really have any Rishonim that they knew of who disagree with this. So they said it's not really a full Raya, because there's room to distinguish. If you intended to say it b'dibur, then you can say it's not chal b'machshava. But if you intended to make a neder b'machshava, then there's room to say that it is chal b'machshava. The Gemara and Shavuos make such a distinction. The Gemara quotes the pasuk levate b'sosayim gama b'libo. So the Gemara says you can't prove it. Can't you prove it from various Mishnahs? The Gemara says no. Maybe all the Mishnahs are only talking about a case where he intended to do an amira. He intended to be mekabel the shvuah b'peh b'dibur, and he never said it, or he said an inconclusive statement, ashvachayad. But if he intended to be mekabel the shvuah b'leib, maybe it would be chal b'leib. So we don't pass like that by shvuah, but by neder one can say like that. But anyway, that's the first pshat. The Trumas Hadeshin understood the Rabbi Natan is saying that by nidrei tainus is a neder, it's not a shvuah. Said by nidrei tainus, since it's a neder, so it's chal b'machshav. Others understand the Rabbi Natan to say that tainus is like a korban. And the Gemara there says in Shavuos Daf Chavav that there are two exceptions to the rule, that all in Yoni Hafloa, the Rambam has one of the 14 Svarim, the Sefer Hafloa. Hafloa's Nefesh Kishishava has it say, Isha Isha Kiafli, Linda Deda Nozal Hashem. Kiafli, Rashi writes, Lefarish Besvasov, Yefarish Besvasov, Yupen, Parle Balaz, Rashi writes. Hafloa means if you make a pronouncement, if you make a declaration with your lips, that's called haflor. So in the Dor Mishvus, ni dibur, that's Sefer haflor in the Rambam. Yes, ilchus shvus, ilchus naziris, charav, merchan, hegdeshus. Everything is called in yoni haflor. So the Gemara says there are two exceptions to the rule that it is chal b'leiv. One exception to the rule is korbanos. The Gemara quotes the pasuk of Dibra Yomim, kol nidiv leiv oilus heviu, that those who had been menadev b'leiv, that they'll bring a carbon oil, brought the carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. And the other exception to the rule that a neder is chal b'leiv is truma. The pasuk says, "V'nechshav lachem trumaschem, tadogan min agar mecham leya min ayekev." That's a pasuk in the end of Parshas Korach, I think. So the pasuk pshat in the pasuk is when you give ma'aser rishon to the Levi, the Levi has to be mafresh ma'isa mina ma'isa and give it to the kohen. So nechshav lachem trumaschem, the trumas ma'isa, the ma'isa mina ma'isa that the Levi gives to the kohen will be considered nechshav lachem yeh chashuv kadogen menagor mecham leah menayakim. It has the exact same status as truma, just like if the farmer is mafresh truma, 2% is mafresh truma. So that it's only mutter the kohanim, and if it's aritzit, there's misa b'dei shamayim. And if his aritzit b'shegik has to give care mechaymish, so too v'nech shalachem chumaschem kadogen menagar, the chumas meiser that the Levi is mafresh has the same, exactly the same dinim as the chumah gedoyla. And that's a mishnah me'ila, that there were four things that Hashem echod. In order to be loike, you have to eat a kazayis avisa. And if there's a machlekes hatanoim, what if you eat a half a kazayis a basa b'cholav and a half a kazayis a b'chaza? The two different isurim. So we pass in any isurim, it's tar from zem zeh. Reb Meir is of the opinion that it says, L'socho kol tayeva, all macholos asuris Hashem echad. So we don't pass like that. We pass can have to eat a full kazayis of basa b'cholav, a full kazayis of chaza. You can't eat half a kazayis of chaza, half a kazayis of basa b'cholav, you won't get malchus. So the Mishnah Me'ilah says there are four things that are Shem Echad: Bikurim and Chala and Chumah Gedoyla and Maisa and Amaisa Amitztar from Zem Zeh, because it's Shem Echad, Shirem Shavim and Shmasem Shavim, so Amitztar from Zem Zeh. So that's based on that pasuk. Now Shalachem Chumaschem Kadogim and Agur. That's the Poshim Shat in the pasuk, that the Maisa and Amaisa, which the Levi is Mafresh and gives to the Kohen, has exactly the same status as the Chumah Gedoyla. But the Torah Shebaal Peh has an additional level of interpretation in that pasuk, the Nechshav Lachem Chumaschem, that Chumah Nitelos B'Machshava, that the farmer could be Mafresh. The Poshim Shat is talking about the Levi being Mafresh Maisa and Amaisa. The Gemara says, yeah, it goes on that, but it goes Nechshav Lachem Chumaschem. Chumah can be Chal B'Machshava. You don't have to pick it up. There's no need to be makbia. He can have a mind. He has 100 bushels and he designates these 2 bushels, 1 and 2, as Truma Gedoyla. He doesn't have to say anything, doesn't have to lift it up. The Truma is Chal B'Machshava. So that's what a second shot in this Rabbeinu Tam is, that since if a person takes a neder to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, the Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim says that Nidrei Hegdish is Chal Achal B'Machshava. Kol Nidiv Lev Oyle Seviyu. So a tainus is like a korban, because mi'et chel b'vidom, yehei nechshav, kilo hikrafti korban. So that's why nidrei tainus achal b'machshav. And then there's a third interpretation in this Rabbeinu Tam Shita, that he didn't mean dafke to talk about nidrei tainus, any hanhogat teiva. We say is chal b'leiv, that all midirabbanan. The Gemara says that minek teiv, Gemara in the Dorm, and after Zvav says that there is such a thing as Bal Yachal Medirabbanan. What do you have Bal Yachal Medirabbanan? The person never really took a Nedim in a Torah. It's only a Nedim Medirabbanan. What do you have a Nedim Medirabbanan? On the level of the Raisin Ni Levati Bisosaim, you have to pronounce it with your lips. And if you do a Hanhaga Teva once, and you plan to continue to do that, or a person does a Hanhaga Teva 3 times in a row, he's not thinking one way or the other whether he wants to continue or not. But if he does it 3 times in a row, he demonstrates that that's his style. So it's as if he's implying that he wants to continue. So the Gemara says that's a case of Bal Yachal Medirabban. It's not Bal Yachal Medirabban because you have to have Nefesh Kisei Shova Levate Bisosayim. It's not a korban. It's not a korban that it should be covered with the din of Kol Nadiv Levoy Lesevim. So the third pshat in the Rabbeinu Tam is that if you mekabel nidrei tainus b'leiv, it's chal, because all in yoni mitzvah, any mitzvah chasidus is chal b'leiv. Someone asked me this morning, his wife is pregnant and she's not feeling well today, so what's the din? So the Gemara says that the ubers and menikas are automatically declared the dinners that a chayla she'im b'sakana is permitted to eat on Tisha B'Av and on all the Tanesim. In order to be allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, you have to be a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana. That's the Mishnah is in the end of Yuma, the last pair of Yuma. But in order to be allowed to eat on Tisha B'Av and the other Tanesim, Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana is permitted to eat. So the other Tanesim, some Gedali Shevosa B'Tamas, we automatically declare every Moberis and Manika as a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana. On Tisha B'Av, we don't automatically declare. It depends. The definition of Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana means if a person has a condition which prevents him from functioning normally. So if the woman taka is throwing up, or she's nauseous, or she can't function well without eating, then it's taka called the Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana. Then she's allowed to eat. But if she's doing well, most of the women today take prenatal pills. When they're nursing, they take postnatal pills. Most of the women who have babies are healthier than their husbands. So a lot of these coolers don't apply today. A lot of these coolers do not apply. Chacham Avadya has, in one of his tshuvas, he quotes a psak from the Maharsham. Maharsham died 100 years ago, the early 1900s. So the days of the Maharsham, they didn't have prenatal pills and postnatal pills. So the Maharsham paskins that if a woman had a baby, until the baby is 2 years old, she has the status of a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana, even though she's not nursing the baby. That, so he said that applies bizman hazeh. Pili ploy, we should have asked his wife. I'm sure his wife took pills. The wife was healthy. What kind of a heter is that? It's very difficult. Very difficult. That's based on a Gemara in Nida that a woman is Mesulekas Dama for 2 years after she has a baby, even if she stopped nursing already. But it doesn't, the Pashtus is, it certainly doesn't apply. Certainly doesn't apply Bismana.
Give him a Shaitan use? The woman, I think,
calls man, she's Manika. But Shaitan is when she's Muberis or Manika. Then Bismana Gemara, we would declare that the woman is a Chodeshem B'Sakona. Bismana said it's very questionable whether every Muberis or Manika is a Chodeshem B'Sakona.
What do we say about
Mubaros
nowadays
on Shaitanis?
If they're taking pills,
it's questionable. It's not the same Mubaros as it used to be Bisman HaGemara.
Some Chassidim have a minhag, right, that a teenage girl, the girls after Bar Mitzvah should not fast on any fast except for Yom Kippur, because they're all suffix that they're that they may be pregnant. Is that
a minhag taos? Any girl after bas mitzvah may be pregnant. By not an orthodox, you mean?
Huh?
No, by Hasidim also. All over the world.
I know
several Hasidim. Not familiar. No, they get married at a very young age.
No, they're not married.
Before bas mitzvah, there's no din al chinuch and fasting. People make a mistake. A lot of people have a practice that the last three taneisim before a boy becomes bar mitzvah, before a girl becomes bas mitzvah, so they make him fast. So that's a mistake. You only mechanach the children to fast on Yom Kippur. On the other taneisim, there's no chinuch. For whatever reason, there's no chinuch. Mishnah Berurah quotes all the achrenim like that. So a lot of girls, before bas mitzvah, they don't fast. Then after bas mitzvah, they're married right away. Either they're pregnant, they're nursing, or pregnant, they're nursing. And then they're too old to fast. But the whole thing is not right. It's not right. Pregnant women today are very healthy. Yeah. But if they're not feeling well, then we automatically declare them as a Chodeshei
Mesakana. So nowadays there's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Shaitanis?
Probably is a difference. How bad does she have to feel? So on Tisha B'Av, she has to really be a Chodeshei Mesakana. The other Taneisim, if despite the fact that she's taken all these pills, she doesn't feel well, so you start me a little more mekel. But I don't think it's right to be mekel the same as we used to be mekel with Bisman HaGemara, with Bisman HaShulchan Aruch. Now they're very healthy.
Are there two levels of Kolashem Sakana?
Maybe. I don't know. It's not clear. Someone has to work it out, but you can't just quote a Marsham. Masham died 100 years ago, has no application today. Yeah. We learn Kriya Satoira on a Tainus. If the Tainus is Shein B'Chamishi, so you give three aliyas. If the Tainus is on a Wednesday, so there's a Machlokes Satanoim. How many aliyas do you give? So the Tanakam is of the opinion you only give one aliyah, and that Oyle LaTorah says the Haftorah. And we don't pass like that. We pass like the Tana Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says you never give a Kriyas HaTorah less than three aliyas. Is the mafta oyle l'minyan akruim or not? That's a machlekes in Gemara Megillah and Daf Chav Gimel on Shabbos and Yontif and Yom Kippur. Whether the, let's say, yesterday was Rosh Hashanah, so we gave five aliyas and we said Chatzi Kaddish, and then we leaned, and then we gave a sixth aliyah for the mafter. In other words, mafter ain't oil in the minyan akruim. And on the Tanya Sibur, the mafter is the shlishi. So that's a question. The Gemara has a machlekes samarayim, whether mafter oil in the minyan akruim or not. So how did we come to such a compromise? So that's a machlekes tais, the quotes are Rabbeinu Tam. Tais is in the end of Tainus, and tais is in Megillah. Quotes to Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, Mikra, then we pass the mafter is oil l'minyan akruim, and that's why on the Taina Sibur, the Shlishi is the mafter. I hakam on Shabbos and Yontif and Yom Kippur, we give five aliyahs plus a mafter, and Yom Kippur give six aliyahs plus mafter. So Rabbeinu Tam says, because the Mikra, then you're allowed to make hoisofis on Shabbos and Yontif and on Yom Kippur. Our meaning is that we follow the Ran. The Ran says you're only allowed to make Chosovis on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make Chosovis on Yom Tov or on Yom Kippur, because you shouldn't give Yom Tov the Chashivas like Yom Kippur to give 6 Aliyahs. You shouldn't give Yom Kippur the Chashivas like Shabbos to give 7 Aliyahs. The Gemara has a Machlek, so Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, how many Aliyahs do you give on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur? So we follow Rabbi Shmuel. We follow Rabbi Shmuel that you give 6 Aliyahs on Yom Kippur and 7 Aliyahs on Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva holds Vakert, he gives 7 Aliyahs on Yom Kippur and 6 Aliyahs on Shabbos. So we don't follow Rabbi Kiva. But the Mishnah says you're allowed to make a suffer. So the Ran read the Mishnah with Machman like that Ran, l'chatchila, that you only make a suffer on Shabbos. But Shabbos is the top of the list, the way we pass on like Rabbi Shmuel. You give 7 aliyahs, but you shouldn't give Isophis on Yontif or on Yom Kippur, not to give Yontif the Hashivas like Yom Kippur, to give 6 aliyahs, not to give Yom Kippur the Hashivas like Shabbos, which it isn't. You shouldn't give Yom Kippur 7 aliyahs. So Rabbi Natam disagrees. He says, no, Mikra, then you can make Isophis on all three. You can't make Isophis on a weekday or on Chol HaMoed or on Chanukah and Purim, because people have to go to work. People malocha. But on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, no one's going to work. So there's no issue of Bittul Melocha. So you can make a sofis on all of them. So Rabbi Natan is quoted by Tosfos. He says, there was a machlokes in the days of the Gemara, whether the mafter is oil or the minyan, akruim. So it may as well satisfy the other opinion as well. So that's why Shabbos, Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, we give a separate aliyah. We give the number of aliyahs, give a separate aliyah to satisfy even the opinion that we don't accept la halacha. However, on a tiny seabird that you're not allowed to make koi sofis because people do go to work, there's bitl malocha, so then you're not allowed to make any koi sofis. So the mafta has to be, the shlishi has to be the mafta. And you look in the tshuvas of the Rabbi Natam in the Sefer Yosher, or you look in the Ozer Ruah, so he quotes that the one of the Talmidim of the Rabbi Natam, I think the Rabbi Meshulam, disagreed with the Tesis, doesn't quote it, but Tesis quotes by Riches, the Rabbi Natam, that he was disagreeing with the Rabbeinu Meshulam held that Mikra din we paskin a split psak, that on a tainis the mafter is oyle l'minyan akruim, and on Shabbos and Yom Tov Yom Kippur the mafter is not oyle l'minyan akruim. Why should it be a split? So they don't explain why. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that the Tanakama and the Brisa and the Gemara says when a tainis sibur falls out on a Wednesday, you only get Tanakama holds you only give one aliyah. Mazah, you only give one aliyah. So he explained, really, the kriya on the Tainus Sibur should be the kriya from the Haftarah, because the job of the role of the Nevi'im was to give Tochacha. And the purpose of, one of the main purposes of a Tainus Sibur is that they should give Tochacha, they should be Mispalo, they should give Tochacha for the people, we assume it's an Eis Tzor, because the people did Averis. So it's important to lay in the Haftarah, but you can't just lay in Haftarah without first laying in Kriyas Haftarah. The Gemara has a din Hamafta Benavitzach Sheikra Batara Tchilo. The one who wants to say the Haftarah has to lay in first a little bit from the Chumash. People shouldn't think that the Navi is just as important as the Chamishu Chumashi Torah. So Hamafta Benavi has to lay in from the Chumash. So that's why the Tanakhama says, since the whole purpose of the Kriyas Haftarah is just to enable the Haftarah to say the Haftarah, the mafter did say the haftarah, so sufficient with one aliyah. We don't paskin like that, because we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, can ever have kriyas haftarah less than 3 aliyahs. Okay. But over there, you can't say the mafter is not oyle l'minyan akruim. There's a separate takana of kriyas haftarah and a separate takana of mafter. No. The kriyas haftarah on the tiny sebers, there shouldn't be a kriyas haftarah. It's only kriyas haftarah to enable the mafter to say the haftarah. You can't say the haftarah without first getting an aliyah from the sefer Torah. You can't just give one aliyah. You can't have less than 3 aliyahs. So that's why the Rabbeinu Meshulam holds that on a time, the sibur, the mafter is oyle l'minyan akruim. The whole purpose of the kriyas haftarah is just in order to enable the mafter to say the haftarah. But on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, there were 2 takonas. It's a takana kriyas haftarah. You have to have the minyan akruim. That's a takana of saying the haftarah. So this Rabbeinu Meshulam is of the opinion, mafter is not oyle l'minyan akruim. We don't paskin like that. We paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam. Where do you see a difference? Halacha l'maaseh. So there's a din in Hilchas Shabbos and Reish Pei Beis there's the din in Shulchan Aruch about Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. So they say, what's the din if in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah? So he's supposed to finish up that Aliyah, put away the Sefer Torah, take out a new Sefer Torah, and continue laying in a new Sefer Torah. What happens if they were laying in Kriyas HaTorah, they found the mistake in the last Aliyah? It happened in Yeshiva, I remember once. I think it was Parshas Vayikra. So they were laying in Kriyas HaTorah, and they called up Shvi, and at the end of Shvi, they found there was an Aleph instead of an Ayin or something. The Mamash, a word was misspelled. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that if the mistake is found in Shvi, and you finish the whole Parsha, Parshas HaShavua, so you don't, and the one who gets, one who finishes the Aliyah says the Bracha Shanasan on him. So you don't put away the Sefer Torah, take out another Sefer Torah in order to have the Mafter, Eino Eidu Dominion Akun. You don't do that. So you tell the Shvi, he's going to be the Mafter. The Gaba had already told someone else he's going to be Mafter. So he told me, not going to be Mafter. And the Shvi was going to be Mafter. Shvi wasn't prepared. They didn't think they were going to find a mistake in the Sefer Torah. So then it says the Magen Avraham writes in such a situation that the Mafter is going to be, the Shvi is going to be the Mafter, then you don't say Chatzi Kaddish. He says you only say Chatzi Kaddish in between the Shvi and the Haftorah if you're going to lane, the Mafter is going to lane from the Sefer Torah and follow immediately by saying Haftorah from Anovi. But you don't say Kaddish, you don't say Chatzi Kaddish in between the Kriyas HaTorah and the Haftorah from the Navi. The Magen Avraham says that'll be a violation of the Din HaMafta B'Navi Tzorech Sheik B'Torah Tchilo. The word Tchilo has the connotation immediately before. You shouldn't have a Hafsoka in between. The old minig used to be that on the Tainis, when you give three Aliyahs, so the Balkori would say Chatzi Kaddish, then the one who got the third Aliyah would say the Haftorah. So Rabbi Kadega writes that he did away with the minhag. He said it's wrong, because the Magen Avraham says whenever the oilalat, you can't say Chatzi Kaddish in between the Aliyah of the Maftir and the reading of the Haftorah. That's a Hafsoka. You have to lane the Sefer Torah immediately prior to saying the Haftorah from the Navi. So Rabbi Kivei succeeded in doing away with that minhag on all the Tanaisim except for Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av, we have the Haftaras Asof Asifeim, and then the minhag is that you do say Chatzi Kaddish. So that's a question. Why? Why do you, if Rabbi Kivei did away with the minhag on every time the Sipur, because you shouldn't say Chatzi Kaddish in between. So the same should be on Tisha B'Av. So Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested a few terutzim on the Kasha. But the kasha is better than the teretz. It's a very strong kasha. Why didn't we do away with the Chatzi Kaddish on the Kriyas HaTorah on Tisha B'Av as well? The author of the Torah Tmima, Rav Baruch HaLevi Epstein, was a Levi. His father was the Aruch HaShulchan. So his father had a brother who was a Levi. And when he would get an aliyah on a Taina Sibur, so he would insist that he wants four psukim. The Gemara says that on a normal day you have to give Kriyas HaTorah, you have to lane, you have to give three aliyahs, and you have to give a minimum of 10 psukim. So in other words, and each aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, so someone has to get 4 psukim. 3, 3, and 3 is only 9, so you have to have 3, 3, and 4. So the Gemara says if the kohen gets 4 psukim, is mufchar. And if the Levi gets 4 psukim, is good. And if the Shlishi gets 4 psukim, is good. In other words, from the Gemara would appear that 4 psukim is a fatter aliyah than 3 psukim. More bekavadik. So on the Taina Sibur, the Levi, the way it's broken down in our Sidurim, in Achim Hashem, the Levi's aliyah is only 3 psukim. So, and the Shlishi is going to have more than enough. He's going to have more than 4 psukim. So he writes that his uncle was a character. He writes in his autobiography, his uncle was a character, and when he got the aliyah on the Taina Sibur, he wouldn't say the bracha shenasan lanu unless the bakor would lane for him another pasuk. Because the Gemara says the one who gets 4 psukim is a more mufcher, it's a more bekavadik aliyah. It's a pella. How come we don't give the lady all the time? Why did he have to? what do we have to fight about getting the aliyah? The meaning is that on a tiny sibu we say along with the Balkar Hashem Hashem Kal Rach Machanan, this is part of a big minig. We have such a minig on Purim. There are a few psukim, Lahihunim Harsarim Simcha Sasim Ikar, and there are a few, Rabbalahu Narod Oshnas Amel, there are a few psukim that everybody says along with the Balkar, right? And the same is when you say Megillah Secha. It's a minig from all year long that the psukim of Slicha and Kapora in Nechama and Geula and Yeshua we say along with the Balkari. Some wrote, I think incorrectly, that the minig is that the people say along with the Balkari on Purim to make sure that they don't fall asleep. That's not why. It's a minig from all year long. The psukim that speak about Geula, Yeshua, and Nechama, everyone says along with the Balkar. It's not because we're afraid they're going to fall asleep. Pashto says that that's not it. How come we only say today? How come we only say the Haftarah by Mincha? And Shachas, you don't say the Haftarah. So the Bi'ur HaGra writes in Shulchan Aruch that in the days of the Gemara, they never had Kriyas HaTorah on the Taina Sibo by Shachas. It was introduced later. When the Gemara would appear, unless it's Sheni B'Chamishi, Sheni B'Chamishi, so you have Kriyas HaTorah every Monday or Thursday morning. But if it's on a Wednesday, then the Takana Satanaim that Yelein Kriyas HaTorah with the Haftarah was only by Mincha. And it was a later minig that they introduced to say the Kriyas HaTorah by Shachris as well. And it's not a bracha about Tola. And he said, everybody already said Brichas HaTorah when they woke up in the morning. So how you get an aliyah, how do you say another Brichas HaTorah? So the answer is, that's a Takana Satanaim. The Tanaim made a Takana, but then whenever you have to learn Kriyas HaTorah, whoever gets an aliyah has to say Brichas HaTorah again. So if the Chachamim only, if the Tanaim only instituted Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha, why isn't it a Brachal HaTorah in Shachris? So the Gros says, no, whenever there's a day on which there's a Takana Kriyas HaTorah, you don't make Hosafis, you're not supposed to, it's a Yeshba, Bitl, Meloch, Elo'am, you don't make Hosafis. But if you want to lain a second time the whole Kriyas HaTorah, that's okay. The Nitziv has such a tshuva, I think, to Chicago. Somebody made a Siyam Sefer Torah. Somebody had a Sefer, write a Sefer Torah. And they finished, people have often worked on a Sunday. So they finished the Ksiva Sefer Torah, the Ksiva Sosyas was on a Sunday. And then they were marching and dancing and singing in the streets, and they carried it from the person's home to the shul where they were going to give it. And then they decided to auction off aliyahs to make some money for the shul. And then the people were saying brachas on a nice Sunday afternoon. They were saying brachas on Kriyas HaTorah. So some of the balabatim said, what do you mean? So brachas on Tovi, you can't learn Kriyas HaTorah in the middle of nowhere. The other said, no, why not? So I don't know why they sent the shalat to Dinitziv. There were no rabbis in America? Okay. They sent the shalat to Dinitziv. Maybe they had all learned in Valojin. So the Nitziv writes back, he thinks that it is a brachal of Atola. He says, if it would be on a Monday or Thursday, so he says, since there is a Takonis Kriyas HaTorah, even though everybody already heard Kriyas HaTorah in the morning, they can do another Kriyas HaTorah. But if it's on a day when there's no Takonis Kriyas HaTorah, he thinks that it is a brachal of Atola. He thinks that it is a brachal of Atola. The Gemara has a concept of Yontov Shalano Haya, that if a person in the days of the second Beis Hamikdash, some people used to bring a korban etzim in Mishnayos and Tainus list off which families had the minig every year to bring korban etzim to donate logs for the mizbech. You have to have logs in order to make a fire to burn their korbanos. So that family that had that brought the din is whenever a person brings a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, that day that he brings the korban is considered a yontif for him. Not supposed to fast on that day. So the Mishnah says that the Gemara has a brisa, not a Mishnah. The Gemara has a brisa that the people who were members of that family who donated the korban etzim to the Beis HaMikdash, sometimes it turned out that it would be on a tainis, and his hanina v'lo hishlamnuhu. They only fasted the lepta chatzos and then they broke the tongue. They should yantab shalanu hayam. This is their yantab. Same thing if you have a bris. We assume in Shulchan Aruch, you have a bris. So the three balei habris, the parents, the father and the mother, are considered balei habris. That's a chiddush, even though the mother is not mechuyev lomalas, but no, only the father is mechuyev. So the poskim say the father and the mother both considered balei habris, the moel and the sandik. So the three balei habris have the status of yom tov shalanu hayom, or chos and kala. That's a couple got married in the middle of shivus me'amishnah. So they have the status of yom tov shalanu hu. So what's the din of yom tov shalanu? So you only fast a half a day, and then it's aninim eloi hishlam duhu. So there's a machlokes in Mogen Avraham quotes a machlokes achrenim. Most of the achrenim assume that this is only if it's a Tisha B'av Shenitche, or Shirasa B'Tamas is a Nitche, that you're not fasting on the actual day of the Tonis. But if it's not a Nitche, then you don't have this heter of Yom Tov Shalom. And that's why there's a question regarding Tzom Gedalia, because Gedalia was killed on Rosh Hashanah. And we don't fast on Rosh Hashanah because it's a yom that we fast on the third day. So maybe Tzom Gedalia should always be considered a nitche. So the accepted opinion is that it's not so. Since the Chachamim were mesaken that you should fast on the third of Tishrei, so it's not called a nitche. It's not called a nitche unless it actually would turn out to be on Shabbos. Let's say Rosh Hashanah would be a Thursday and Friday. Rosh Hashanah lo adu rosh. It can't be aled aled vav. But it can be on a Thursday and a Friday, and then Tzom Gedalia will be on Shabbos and will be Nitche to a Sunday. So whenever Tzom Gedalia is actually a Nitche from Shabbos to Sunday, so then if there would be a Bris, or there would be a Chos and Kala, so they would only fast a half a day. It's Anina V'lo Yishlamdu. The problem is that the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Mem, the Gemara quotes this din about a Yantav Shalanu Hoya, by the carbonates and the descendants from the family who brought the carbonates to the base of Mikdash. So the day you bring a carbon, it has a din of a yontif from the Rabbanon. So they would only fast a half a day. The Gemara says it, the Gemara seems to say it, even on Tisha B'av Mamash. So that's a shaila. Why do we follow the opinion in Achrenim that it's only if it's a nitche? A few years ago, when Rabbi Yasha was already something like 95 years old, he needed surgery. He was very sick, and he didn't want to have the surgery. So his relatives insisted that he has to have it. So they brought a top surgeon from Columbia. It was still Columbia Presbyterian at that time. Now it's no longer Presbyterian. So they flew a whole team to Eretz Yisrael and did. They did the surgery. So Rabbi Yasha used to be very tall and very strong. He was like 6.5 feet tall. When he walked in the street, he would walk very straight like this. Even I think when he was old, I remember him when he was younger, but I think he always walked like that. Very tall, and it was the first time in his life after his bar mitzvah that he wasn't allowed to fast. So he felt awful that he has to eat on a tonis. It wasn't a nitche. So he asked that maybe there's someone who's going to have a bris, maybe there's a grandfather who's going to have a bris, who's supposed to serve as a sandek. Maybe they'll give me sandekos. Maybe they should ask around, maybe someone will give me sandekos. At least there's an opinion like that, that even if the otonis is not a nitche, you're allowed to eat. So I'll have that opinion. It was a choyla. It was a choyla shem zakana. He had to eat. It wasn't allowed to fast. But he wanted, maybe he'll have a tzad heter, that there was such an opinion. So they said, of course they'll find a grandfather. So that was the first time that it happened. And then from that time on, every day they made him a sandik, 4 or 5 brisen, every day. Everybody, the Americans, usually, the Americans and the Sephardim. The Ashkenazim and Eretz weren't interested in nishtik. But all the Americans wanted it. So he used to be a sandik a couple of times every day. But it started with that. Yeah, so the Magen Avraham quotes the Chuvas Maram Lublin. How can we paskin that this kula yontav shalanu haya only applies if it's the tonis is an itche? For the Gemara in Erevin Daf Mem would appear even if it's Tisha B'av Mamash, even if it's not an itche. So the Maram Lublin says that was only the habamina according to the sheet in the Gemara in the days of the Tanoim. In the days of the Tanoim, Tisha B'av, we have the system now, the way we have the Luach Kavua, so Tisha B'av never falls out on a Friday. The only Tanis that can fall out on a Friday, according to our system, is Asar B'Tavis. The others never fall out on a Friday. So, but Bizman HaTanaim, that still did Kiddush Al Chedush Al Pi Ariyah. So sometimes Tisha B'Av fall out on a Friday. So there's a Machlekes HaTanaim. So the Gemara has, it's improper, on the one hand, it's improper to eat a lavish meal on Friday. You shouldn't have any, not supposed to have fleishiks. The Shaila, if you have a bris on Friday, should you serve fleishiks or not? Magen Avraham quotes the Shalah, that the Shalah had two rabbeim. I forgot the names. So he says one, when there would be a bris on Friday, they would be serving fleishiks. So one rabbi would go to the bris, he wouldn't stay to the meal. The other one would stay to the meal. That was the Shaila. Because like this, Shalom Makom Bris, you're not supposed to have fleishiks on Friday. You're not supposed to have an elaborate meal. In Eretz Yisrael, a lot of places, they give fleishiks for lunch on Friday. That's against the Shulchan Aruch. I remember one summer I was in, we were in Eretz Yisrael, so we were staying at a hotel in Kiryat Arba, Malon Eshkolot Chevron. This is the first hotel you bump into when you go into Kiryat Arba. So every day we had breakfast and supper in the hotel, and every day we had lunch in the yeshiva. This big Hesed yeshiva, the yeshiva's near. Mr. Near from Mexico City paid for the yeshiva. That's called yeshiva's near, Dunya and Resh. So in the yeshiva they serve fleishiks every day for lunch. So the tourists from America had fleishiks for lunch. In the hotel, they gave fleishiks for supper every day. So we had twice a day we had fleishiks. Every day we had fleishiks in the yeshiva for lunch. The yeshiva always give fleishiks for lunch. Like in Europe. And then the hotel was catering to American tourists, so they gave fleishiks for supper, like many got American. So they gave fleishiks for lunch, even on Friday. Yeshiva had a lot of places like that. It's talking not right. That's in the Shulchan Aruch says it's not right. Even if you have a bris, it's a machlokes, but it's right to serve fleishiks on a Friday. So on the one hand, you're not allowed to have a lavish meal lunch on Friday, because you take away from Kuwait Shabbos. You want that Friday night's meal should be something out of the ordinary. On the other hand, the Gemara says it's improper to fast the whole day Friday. Kadesh lo yikonis l'Shabbos k'shehu me'una. It will enter into Shabbos and he's starved. So that's the violation of Kuwait Shabbos. In the days of the Tanoim, if Tisha B'Av would fall out on Shabbos, on Tisha B'Av would fall out on a Friday, they would kadosh l'chodesh al pi ariyah. So sometimes Tisha B'Av fell on Friday. So Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that you have to, you mechuyev to break the tonis before Shabbos enters. Kedei shelo yikonis l'Shabbos kishehu me'una. You shouldn't enter Shabbos in a position that you're starving. That's a violation of Kvod Shabbos. And we don't pass like that. We pass when that Asor B'Tavis falls out on a Friday. Misano mashlin. We don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. So the Maram Lublin writes in the Tshuva, according to the Gemara's Havamina, that even if a Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday, you have to eat. So according to that Havamina, it would be mutter to eat, if Yontav Shalana Hayu, it would be mutter to eat even on a Tisha B'Av, that's not a Nitche. But since we don't pass like that, so we don't pass like this either. What are the two things? How are the two things connected with each other? He doesn't explain it. So Rav Soloveitchik explained it as follows. He said, the Braise gives the case, if Tisha B'Av would be a Nitche, Tisha B'Av falls out on a Shabbos. We have that too. Tisha B'Av falls out on a Shabbos, and then everybody's fasting on a Sunday, and a person has a bris. The Gemara doesn't say a bris, a person has, he's donating the carbon etzim. So then it says, Hisanina v'lo hishlamnu. So how do you understand that? Why is Hisanina v'lo hishlamnu? So obviously the Tanoim have a machlokes, how to understand that was earlier Tanoim said that, when they brought the carbon etzim. So the two ways to understand that. Either because whenever there's a mitzvah to eat, so you have to break the donis. Or do you say, no, not the pshat like that. Yontav shalanu hoya, the Lashon HaGemar, yontav shalanu. The day is labeled as a yontav. See, if the day is the Yom HaTonis, if Tisha B'Av is observed on the correct day, so the day is labeled as a Yom Evil. The day is labeled as a Yom Tonis. So you can't superimpose a shame, yontav shalanu, on top of a Yom Evil. It's the day is labeled as already as Yom Evil. See, then there would be no heter to eat. But it was a Tisha B'Av Shenitche, so yesterday was really the Yom Evel, but you don't observe Avelus on Shabbos, you don't fast on Shabbos. So today, on Sunday, if it's a Nitche, so you're Mekayim the Tonis today, but today the day itself is not labeled as a Yom Evel, because it's not Tisha B'Av. So then you say Yom Tov Shalana, the day is labeled as a Yom Tov, so on a Yom Tov you're not allowed to fast. So that'll happen afkamina. What if Tisha B'Av is on Friday? So if you open up, there's a mitzvah to eat, you're allowed to break the tonus. Even Kadesh Lo Yikonis L Shabbos Kishuhuma Una. So you have to eat. And if you say whenever there's a mitzvah to eat, so you have to break the tonus, even if it's on a Tisha B'Av, that's not a nitche. It's a mitzvah to eat Yom Tov Shalana, so you have to break the tonus. You only fast a half a day, and after Chatzai say Sanina V'lo Yishlam Nuhu. But since that's what the Maram Lublin meant, since the Gemara rejects the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and we pass halacha that if Tisha B'Av falls, if Asarah B'Tevis falls on a Friday, Masanu Umashlim, even though there's a mitzvah to eat, Kedesh Lo Yikanes L'Shabbos Keshuma Una, but that doesn't give you a heter to eat on a tonis. So what the Nami, if you have a bris, you're a Bala Bris, and there's a mitzvah to eat, but it's on Tisha B'Av, it's on Tzom Gedalia. So you don't have a head to teeth. The head to teeth is only if it's a nitche. And today is not labeled as the Yom HaTonis. Yesterday was the Yom HaTonis. Today is just the Kiyom HaTonis. That's what a nitche means. That yesterday was the Yom Evel. Yesterday was the Yom HaTonis. And today we're doing the Kiyom HaTonis. So then we say, since the day is labeled as Yantav Shalana, it's a Yantav, so therefore, on a Yantav, you're not allowed to fast. But it's not whenever there's a mitzvah to eat. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe that's what was behind the idea that the Maram Lublin said, that these two issues should be totally zebzed. The Gemara only said that if you have a... The Gemara doesn't talk about a bris, the Gemara talks about the Yom Korban Eitzim. If it happens on Tisha B'Av itself, you should be allowed to eat. That's Lefi Shita Zu, that if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday, you're allowed to eat, like Rabbi Akiva. Once you reject that, so reject this as well. Chacham Avadya has a tshuva. What about Tainus Esther? Let's say a couple got married a few days before Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther comes out in the middle of the Shivas Me'amishta. So he has a tshuva. He says, "Oh, let's say there's a bris. Let's say there's a bris on Tainus Esther every year. I'm sure there are a lot of bris on Tainus Esther. Babies are born every day of the year." So if there's a bris on Tainus Esther, even though it's not a mukdam, even though you're fasting on the right day, so Chacham Avadya has a tshuva, he thinks that you're allowed to eat. Why? So he says, because Tainus Esther is not on the same level of seriousness as the other Tainasim. So therefore he says there's room to be mekel, even if it's bismanoi. I thought that it was correct for a different reason. I thought that the whole issue of if the day is a Yom Evel, then you can't superimpose the Shem Yom Tov Shalana on top of the day because it's a tie to the Sasri. But the Rishonim say that Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shal Simcha. It's not a Tainus of Avelus. There is no tie to the Sasri. The Rishonim are bothered with Akasha that all the Yom Tovim and Megillah's Tainus, the day before and the day after, Lifnei V'Achreihem, also you're not allowed to fast. So how can they ever have fast? How did they ever have a Tainus Esther the day before Purim? It's a Yom Shalifnei Purim. So Purim is part of the Megillah's Tainus. And the Gemara says, Shabbos and Yontav is a din d'oraisa, you're not allowed to fast. So Dibetor and Tzich Mechizuk. So they didn't have to ask of Lifnei Melachrein. Day before and the day after, they didn't have to ask of that you're not allowed to fast. But whenever it's only a Yontav, the Rabbanon, like all the Yom Tov and Megillah's Tainus, Chanukah and Purim, so that's when the Rabbanon said the Asid fasting lift name of the Achraim. So how did they ever have Tainus Esther? We assume they had Tainus Esther even generations ago. Today, after they were Mevatl and Megillah's Tainus, the only thing they weren't Mevatl was Chanukah and Purim. So most of the Rishonim say they were Mevatl lift name of the Achraim of Chanukah and Purim. You're only not allowed to fast on Purim on Chanukah. Day before Purim, day before Chanukah, a lot of fast. But we assume that even before the Om Avatl Megillah's Tainus, they always used to fast on Tainus Esther. How come? But Lefnei Melachrayim is also to be Mechazik, the Isa, the Rabbanon, and not fasting on Purim. So the So the Rishonim answer, the Eshkol has this, other Rishonim have it. The Taina says there's a Taina Shel Simcha. It's Zeche to the fact that they fasted in the days of Esther Amalka, and the prayers were answered. When you fast on some Gedaliah, it's a Taina Shel Avelus, because Gedaliah was killed, and that was the clincher of the whole destruction of the whole Churban of the Bais Rishon, and everything was terrible. That enhanced the Golus and the Churban. So it's a Taina Shel Avelus. So you can't superimpose a shame Yom Tov Shalana on top of a day. That's a Yom Evil. It's a Taita de Sasrin Chal Hashem. Only if it's a Nidche. So the Yom Evil was yesterday. Today we just have the new Gavelus. So then if you label a day as Yom Tov Shalana because you're Bali Bris, Yom Tov Shalana, Chasen Kalas, Yom Tov Shalahem. So then you say they're not allowed to fast because it's Yom Tov Shalahem. But on Tainus Esther, it's a Tainus Shal Simcha. So you can superimpose one on top. There's nothing wrong. It's not a Yom Eivon. It's a Yom Simcha. We're fasting. It's a Tainus Shal Simcha, not a Tainus Shal Avelos. So Leitchik said that we have the Morgan Avram quotes from the Shabbat based on the Ramban, that even on Yikra Din, you only have to fast by Yom on some Kedalia, and you only observe Achid Ushtir, you only observe all the other Chamisha Iluim. But based on the Ramban and the Torah HaAdam, when they originally made this Midiri Kabbalah, when the Novi Zachariah said some Arviv and some Chamisha, etc., so he was kaveh these days as a real day of Tanis. So it was Leila Kiyomo. You had to fast all 24 hours, and you had to observe all the Chamisha Inui. So even though today it depends Ratz Masanim, Ratz Ayim Masanim, it's only a minig, Pasha of Yualai Choiva. So we only fast by Yom, we only observe Achilu Shtia, but Shavuot says at Bal Nefesh, Yachmer Al Atzma, to observe Leila Kiyomo, and to observe all the Chamisha Inui. Unless it's going to be Mexiki Yuhara, the guys, everybody's walking around with leather shoes. This guy's going to walk around with sneakers. It's going to be obvious that he's observing all the Chamisha Inui. So then he shouldn't brag. He shouldn't demonstrate in public that he's observing all the Chamisha Inui. So let him wear regular leather shoes. Unless half the people are wearing sneakers anyways. Okay, so let him wear sneakers. If he's a person that will sometimes walk in public with sneakers or with slippers, so let him walk with slippers. But it's going to be obvious that he's observing Amidas Chassidus, so that's not right. Let him not wear the sneakers on the tonus. So the Rav Soloveitchik said that this whole idea that the Shalosh says based on the Ramban and the Torah Sodom, that on Shavuos HaBetamis, Asar B'Davis, Tzom Gedalia, it's Amidas Chassidus, Bal Nefesh Yachma Latzma, to observe Chamisha Inuim, Leila Kiyomo, doesn't apply to Tainus Esther. He said Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shal Simcha, it's not a Tainus Shal Avelus. So Melech HaTchila, they never introduced all the Chamisha Inuim and Leila Kiyom. So he said the Midas Chassidus of the Shalom wouldn't apply on Tainus Esther. Yeah, what's the din of rinsing your mouth out on a tonus? A person wants to clear out the saliva in his mouth. So the Gemara in Brachas has a Shaila, I think at the beginning of the second paragraph in Brachas. Marza Shaila, where the matemis, someone is cooking potato soup on a tonis to serve for supper after the tonis. So they want to taste it, they don't remember whether they put in salt or not. Very often, my wife forgets whether she put in salt. She's ready to put in salt the third time. She's ready to put in salt twice because she forgot the second time that she already put in salt. So let's say, are you allowed to taste the food? You're going to taste it and spit it out. Are you allowed to taste it or not? What's the shayla? A chashash that you may forget and swallow. You know that it's a tonis. So the Gemara has a shayla. Are you allowed to, matemis, do you say a brocha or not? The Gemara says, you don't say a brocha. And then the Gemara says, what's a din of matemis? The woman, the chef, is going to taste the soup on a tonis and she's going to spit it out. Is she allowed to taste the soup or not? So the Gemara says, "Achil l'shtiyah kabel alei tiim alei kabel alei." B'nedarim halacha chaloshem ani adam. So when a person accepted it by himself to fast a tonis, a yahrzeit or whatever, a chasen, the chasana. So we assume the person was only mekabel not to fast. He never accepted it upon himself. B'nedarim halacha chaloshem ani adam. So it depends what it means. He only meant he's not going to swallow the food. But Tima would be mut. So Tosfos on that Gemara says name Rabbeinu Hananel, I think, you see from the Gemara that this kula, the heter of matemis, only applies because b'nedorim halocha achaloshem ha'yodim achilu shtia kabal alei tima lo kabal alei. You're talking about what was, you're talking about a tainus yochid. What did the person have in mind? What was his intention when he was mekabel the neder tainus? If it's not a neder, if it's tainus haksuvim, Tosis calls it, if it's a tainus that's written in Tanakh, so b'tevet some gedalia, that you can't discuss what did you have in mind when you're mekabel the neder. You don't have to be mekabel the neder. The Navi said you mechuyif tefes, tamar aviv, tamar hamishi, and so on. So since it's totally in, the whole heta of the Gemara is because b'nedorim haloch hachalosh mani adam, it only applies when it's a tiny siyachet that you are mekabel on your own. So what's a din b'zman hazeh? So the Gemara says that the psukim, when they rebuilt the second Beis Hamikdash, that some of the old timers, many of the old timers were crying, how did this compare to the first Beis Hamikdash? And they realized it's missing a lot of things. The Beis Sheni was missing a lot of things. So they had a shaila that they posed to the Nevi'im. Do we still have to fast on Tisha B'Av, like we fasted for 70 years? So when they fasted for 70 years on their own, on Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia, Sar V'Teves, that was a minig that they had. Now they asked the shaila, are we still mechuyev to fast? So the Navi answers, there's a contradiction in the words of the Navi. He gave three different answers on the same question. So first he says, Tzom Ha'Aviv, Tzom Ha'Chamish, Tzom Ha'Shviv, Tzom Ha'Asiri. Tzom Ha'Aviv is Nisan Yosivin Tamas, that's Shivasa B'Tamas. Tzom Ha'Chamish is Tisha B'Av. Av is the Chodesh Ha'Chamish, and so on. And Tzom Gedal is Tzom Ha'Shviv, Asar B'Tevis is Tzom Ha'Asiri. So he says Tzom. So he elevated the level of the Chiv. It used to be only a minig, that they had a minig to fast on these Tanaisim. The Navi declares Tzom Ha'Aviv, he declared the Medire Kabbalah Yemuchayiv to fast. Then he says, Yil L'sas on the Simcha L'Beis Yisrael, you're not allowed to fast, you have to celebrate. And then he continues to say, what are you asking me, the Shaila? You're not listening to what I have to tell you anyway. I told you to observe, the Rabban Shalom is speaking, said, I told you to observe all the mitzvahs, to observe Shabbos and Kashrus and Shiduruch Avodah, Midan Lamokah, Midan Mochaveru, and you're not listening to me and I had to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and send you into Golus, so do whatever you don't please, because you're not listening to me anyway. So the Gemara asked, the Navi gave three different answers. So he correlates some. First he calls it Tzom Ha'Aviv, Tzom Ha'Chamish, it sounds like you mechuyev to fast Medibre Kabbalah. Until then, it was only a meaning that they had on their own. Now the Navi declares B'nevuah, that they mechuyev to fast. Then he says, you're not allowed to fast. Then he says, do whatever you want. So the Gemara says that there are three chilukei dinim, that when you have a Beis HaMikdash, then you're supposed to celebrate, then you're not allowed to fast. When you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, if there's open persecution against the Jewish people, there's anti-Semitism, open persecution, like during the years of the Nazi war, the Holocaust, then you mechuyev to fast Medibre Kabbalah. And then it's Leila Ki Yomo, Poshe Pshat, you have to fast all 24 hours. And all the Hamisha Inuyim, just like Tisha B'Av. And if you live in America now, where there is anti-Semitism, there's no open persecution against the Jewish people, there isn't too much. It's a little bit, there isn't too much. So then it's Ratzim Misana, Ratzim Misana. If you want to, you can fast. If you don't want to, you don't have to. And then the Bahak says, Kvashiri Olaichav. The meaning is that everybody does fast. So there's a machlokes in the Rishonim. What does that mean? Kvash Abiyu Alayu Chayvam. So the Mechaber writes that the Shabbos before Bahab, the Chazan says, Elisha Berach in Shul, for those who plan to fast on Sheni Mechamishi B'Sheni, and everybody should say Amen. So the people who want to be Mechabal Tainus, when they say Amen, Amen Bo Shavua. When you say Amen, you're Mechabal, then they're the Tainus. And the people who don't plan to fast on Sheni Mechamishi B'Sheni, so they say Amen, a brach on the heads of the people who will fast. The Chasen says, Misha Berach. So everybody says Amen. So those who plan to fast, when they say Amen, they have in mind, Amen is the Kabbalah Satainis. And even though the Tainis is not going to be on Sunday, it's 2 days in advance, and it's all week before. It's a week, more than a week before Shenu Chamisha B'Sheni. It's not immediately tomorrow. So that's good, as long as it's before the day of the Tainis. You have to be Mekabal Mabot Yom. Doesn't necessarily have to be the day immediately before. in the couple of times a week before is also good. So the Mechaber writes that the minig is that that the Shabbos before Tzom Gedalia, the Shabbos Parshas Nitzavim, the Shabbos before Tzom Gedalia, you announce in Shul, Misha Berach, and everybody should say Amen, they're on the couple of times. We didn't do that because the Ashkenazim don't do that. So the Ramah says the minig by the Ashkenazim we not do. So it's a fundamental machloikas, the Mechaber and the Ramah. What does it mean when the Bahak said, Kvar Shariyu Alai Chayla? What does that mean? Does it mean that the minig is that we're mechuyif to fast mitam minig? That's how the Ramah presents the Shitas Chachmei Ashkenaz. We assume that the minig is that mechuyif to fast, so you don't have to be mekabel tainus. Or is the minig that we're all the minig is that we all volunteer to fast. We're all mekabel tainus, and the Kabbalah's tainus is mechayivas. So according to the Sfardish minig, many of the Sfardim still have that minig, that the Shabbos before Shabbos Parsha Nitzavim, there'll be Mekabel Tainus to fast on Tzom Gedalia. So if you follow the minig of the Sfardim, that the Mekabel Shabbos, that the Mekabel Tainus, the Shabbos before Asar B'Tevis and Tzom Gedalia Shavasa B'Tamos, then Tima would be Mutter, because Achila Shtia Kabbal Alei, Tima Alei Kabbal Alei. The Mechaber L'Shitasa writes, you're permitted to rinse your mouth out on a tiny sefer, to rinse your mouth out with water, even though you're not allowed to swallow the water. So you know, you remember today's a tiny sefer, so you're not going to swallow the water. But according to the Ramah, that we don't announce the Shabbos before, we're not Mechabel Tainus, we assume that Minig is Mechaibas to fast today. It's not that the Minig is that we volunteer, the Minig is to be Mechabel Tainus. Minig is you mechuyif to fast mitam minig. So since you mechuyif to fast, so you don't say achil shtir kabel lay tima la kabel lay. You can't say b'nedarim halach achal loshem liyadam. There is no loshem liyadam. It's like tanya saksuvim. Whatever you mechuyif to fast, you can't analyze what did he have in mind when he was mekabel tainus. He wasn't mekabel tainus. He was mechuyif to fast. So that's l'shitosoy. This machlekes the mechaber the Ramah where the teima is mutter. On some Gedalia, on Sar B'Tevis, and Shavasa B'Tamas is Lishitosam, that's what the Bir Agro writes, it's Lishitosam, where they make the Hachroza the Shabbos before. If you make Hachroza the Shabbos before, so obviously you demonstrate that you're being Mekabel Tainus. If you're Mekabel Tainus, then we assume Medadam Halacha Chaloshim and Yodam, so they didn't have in mind the Te'ima. Moshe Feinstein has a big chiddush. He says that rinsing the mouth out, yeah, this whole din that you're not allowed to rinse, according to the Ramah, you're not allowed to rinse your mouth out on Tzom Gedalia. This is only to rinse your mouth out with water, that's Roy Lishtia. Unless you're going to rinse your mouth out with mouthwash that no one would ever dream of drinking. You're not going to get sick if you drink the mouthwash, but it's not Roy Lachila. If you would have it on the table, people wouldn't drink it. It doesn't taste good. So the Pashto says that you're allowed to do. That you're allowed to do even on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur. It's not real achila. I'll be Pashto. So they quote in the name of Moshe Feinstein, that he thought that to rinse your mouth out is an Issa Rechitza. Just like you're not allowed to bathe on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. One of the Chamishi Noim is Rechitza is also. You're not allowed to bathe the body on the outside. He thought that it's an Issa Rechitza on the inside of the mouth also. When they printed all of these he'oris that Rav Moshe said, so someone put on the bottom of the page that all the classical poskim assume otherwise. They all assume that chitz is only on the outside of the body. To rinse your mouth out to get the saliva out, they assume is not included in the isur of chitz.
Brushing your teeth is the same as mouthwash, because when you rinse it out with water, the water is there some afterload.
Probably. Probably should be. The Gemara tells a story that on one occasion the Goyish government, the Gemara Titus tells us that on one occasion the Goyish government was Goyzer. Gzera against the Jews, so they fasted, and the Gzera was Nizbatel. So then the Goyisha government saw that the Jews always get their way, they fast, and the Baruch Hashem listens to our prayers, our prayers. So they were goyzer exer against the Jews, and they were goyzer, they're not allowed to fast. They're going to punish you, they're going to put you in prison if you fast. So one of the Amoraim, the Gemara tells the story, one of the Amoraim was Mekabal Neda Tainis, when the Gzera will be broken, he's going to fast then. So the Gemara says, based on a pasuk in Ezra, that Ezra was fasting, Daniel, I think, Yom Shenasati Alibi de Hisanas, and the day that I made up my mind I'm going to fast, my prayers were answered. So the Gemara says, because they're Mekabal Tainis, they didn't even fast. They were just Mekabal Tainis. When the Gzera will be undone, when the government will be Mevatlu Gzera, then they're going to fast. So what does it help now? So the Gemara says, no, Miyom Shenasati Alibi Lehisanis, from that day on that I was Mekabal Neda Tainis, my prayers were answered. So you see that the Kabbalah Satainis, even though not the Kiyam Atonis itself, just the Kabbalah Satainis, also is Mechaper. So it's interesting, Rabbi Yosef Engel has a whole essay in one of his Svarim where he discusses when you magdish a carbon. So then you makrib the carbon. So you do the shchit, the kabbalah, halacha, zrika, that's the mechaper. Should we assume that the hakdoshas hakarbon is also tchilas hakapara? Or no? Let's say when you buy a lulav and an esek, the first 2 days you need shalachem. When you buy a talus, so the buying is not, the buying is just in order to enable you to have a talus to wear. You buy a pair of tefillin. You bought it, that's not a mitzvah. So hakdoshas hakarbon is just preparation of the chefza with which you're going to do the mitzvah, but the mitzvah begins with the shchita kabbalah halacha zrika, hakdoshas hakarbon is just the hachana. Or should we assume that the hakdosha is the tchilas hakapara also? So there are a lot of rayas that seem to indicate, Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes some of them. Usually Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes 20 rayas. Whenever he wants to prove a point, he usually quotes a lot of rayas. This he doesn't quote so many. But the pashtus is that the Hakdoshas HaKarbon is the Tchilos HaKapara also. Take, for example, the Gemara in the beginning of Kol HaTodir. And Kol HaTodir is a perek in the end of Zmochin. That starts on Daf Peites Amid Aleph. So the Gemara on Daf Tzadik Amid Aleph, the Gemara comments on the Pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Tazria, that it says when a woman has a baby, so she has to bring a set of Karbonos, and she has to bring an Oilo and a Chato. So which one do you bring first? And the Chumash, it says the Oilo first. The Gemara says, but you bring the Chatos first. First you have to get a Kapora. Same thing on Yontif, when you bring all the Musafim. So in the Chumash, it always has the 11, sometimes 10, sometimes 11 musafim. So it always starts with the oilas, and then the soil achatos is mentioned last. Even though it's mentioned last, you makrav it first. Whenever there's a whole series, so you always makrav the chatos before the oila. So the Gemara says, how come by the oledas, why does it say the oila before the chatos? Like nima hakosu ela lemikro'o. What does that mean? Lohiknima hakosu elo lemikro'o. So Rashi writes, when you learn Kriyas HaTorah, you learn about the oila before you learn about the chatos. So Tosin says, obviously, that's the way it's written in the Chumash. You read the psukim in order. So Tosin quotes Rab Chaim Kohen, it doesn't mean that. It means when the oleda says magdish the karbonis, she should be magdish the oila before she is magdish the chatos. Even though when you makriv the chatos first before the oila, but you should be magdish the oila before you magdish the chatos. So if you tell me that there's a seder in the hakdasha, so obviously we're assuming that the hakdasha is the tchilos hakapar, the hakdasha is the tchilos kiyam mitzvah. And then also when you learn, there's a gigantic tesis in Lulav HaGozel that appears in Perek Merube and Bava Kama also about mitzvah bo b'aveira. So from the Tosfos is also muchach like that, that the hakdosha is the tchilas kiyam mitzvah. If the animal already belongs to you before you are magdish it, you were kind of bishinoi, kind of betir shishin v'shus or something, and then you magdish it, so then Tosfos says it won't be a mitzvah b'aveira. It's only a mitzvah b'aveira if the hakdosha, at the time of hakdosha, it's still stolen, because the hakdosha is the tchilas kiyam mitzvah. So that's why then we understand well why the Gemara says that the Kabbalah's neder hatainis, v'yom shenasati alibi lehisanes, because the Pasuk calls it katru tzom kiru atzora. being mekabel the neder tainis is considered in a certain sense like being magdish the korban. Mir tchel bevidomi is like a korban, and declaring the day as the yom tainis is like hakdoshos hakorban. So that's already considered the tchilos kiyum hamitzvah. So that's what the Gemara says. The government made a gzeira that they're not going to let the Jews fast, and anyone fast, they'll put him in prison. So they're mekabel neder tainis, they're going to fast when the gzeiras hamalchus will be broken. So what does it help they're going to fast then? The kabbalas neder hatainis was mechaper, even though they actually didn't fast yet. The kabbalas neder hatainis was mechaper. The Mishnais and Tainis have the slichas that we say at the end. Anenu Hashem Elokeinu Anenu Anenu Avinu Anenu Anenu Bareinu Anenu, and Mishonu Avinu Behar Maroyu Anenu. All of those, the easy ones, the easy Hebrew, that's when the days of the Tanoim, that's the most important slichas. And the difficult Hebrew, that's when the days of the Balei HaTosfos, that was introduced later. But the Mishnayos have the slichas that we say at the end. Those were the ones from the earlier generation, the days of the Tanoim. Okay, maybe we'll do a little bit of Churim today as well. The Gemara has an expression, Ein Sotik Moitzi Midei Vadai. So it appears here on Yudam and Aleph, and then the second Tosfos on the Omid, Yivamaschal Tavol V'Yola. So they refer you, there's a sugya that appears in three Masechtos, the same sugya. That's the exact same sugya. And neither daf tezvav, in Avodah Zarah daf memalav, and psochem daf, what is it, daf tes. That sugya is repeated, and the expression there is also, ein sofik motzim devada. So Taisa says there are two different sugyas, and they mean different things. And in a certain sense, they're opposites. They're using the term Ein Sofik Motzim Vadai in opposite meanings. We usually have a klal. We're going to learn part of it here. We usually have a klal. We follow Roiv whenever you don't know what the facts are. So we assume there are laws of probability. If the likelihood is like this, the probability is like the 85% likelihood of this is what happened. So you follow Roiv. Then the Gemara says you follow Chazakah. We spoke a little bit. If you have Ruba v'chazaka, there's a machlokes hatanoim, Rameir and the Chachamim. So the Chachamim, the way we pass in Halacha, we assume when a Rav pulls you in one direction, the Chazaka pulls you in the other direction. So we assume Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba Adif. We pass in that the Rav wins, Ben HaTorah. In the Rabbanon, maybe not so, we'll have to discuss it. But on the level of the Rav, Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba Adif. And Rameir holds Ruba v'chazaka, Ashkudim. Why is that? So we explained a little bit that the Pnei Yeshua in Ksubis and Daf Tes explains, and the Kuntri Sachran and the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua gave Shiurim. So after he would finish the whole Perek, after he finished the whole Masichta, then he would Chazan. So the Kuntri Sachran are the Chidushim that he said when he Chazan. So now they were nice enough to put all the Kuntri Sachran in the right place. You have to look in the other Masichta, they put it in the beginning, where it belongs. So the Pnei Yeshua in the Kuntri Sachran on Daf Tes explains why is the rule Ruba v'Chazaka Ruba Adif, because Rav is Mevarer, the facts of the case. Chazaka is only a din hanhoga. How should one act if he doesn't know what the facts are? So if you have a Rav pulls in one direction, Chazaka pulls in the other direction, Rav tells you what the facts of the case are. The likelihood is that it's like this, and Chazaka tells you how to act when you don't know what the facts are. You do know what the facts are. The Rav is Mevar the facts. Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba Adif. You don't follow Chazaka in such a case. So the Gemara in three places there, in Nida, Daf Tezvav, and Avodah Zarah, Daf Memalav, and Psachim, Daf Tes. The Gemara there, the way Tosfos explains it, they allude to it over here. Sofik Arogel. What if it's not a Rav of 90%, 85% the likelihood? What if it's a Rav that just made it by the skin of its teeth? It's 51% to 49%. That's not such a strong rive. So Tosfos says that, oh, let's say 55% to 45%. 55% just 5% more than 50-50. So Tosfos says, if it's a rive garua, And it's a weaker Rav. There are many different, there are 1,000,001 degrees of a Rav. You can have 99.99% certainty. You can have 99.8, 99.7, and so on. So you can have 51%, 52%, 53%. You can never have a Rav Garua. There is a Rav, but it's a Rav Garua. So then you say, Ruba v'chazaka ashkulim. Why? Because you can't really say that a Rav Garua is mevarer. That's insufficient birur. So Rav Garua is also just a din hanhoge. So you have a stira. On the one hand, you have a din hanhoge of Rav Garua. Yeah. On the other hand, you have a din hanhoge of the chazaka. So it's a shkulim. So it's equal. Rameo holds chashina lemiyuta. Rameo holds, even if you have a Rav, even if you have a Rav, let's say, of 85%, even a Rav of 90%, still, it's also just a din hanhoge. So he holds a group of chazak hashkulim, because he says you can't say that the Rav is mevarer, because he holds miut command the isidam, and the miut is staring you in the face and saying, how can you be mevarer against me? But there is a 5%, there's a 10% chance that it's not so. So Rameh's opinion is, unless the miut is so insignificant that it's miut to the miuta, the Gemara says on the first daf in Gittin, Rameh chayish le miuta only applies when it's a significant miut. If it's a miut in the miuta, it's 99% one way and 1% the other way. So even Rameh would agree that that Rav is a mevara. So even he would agree that Ruba v'chazak or Ruba adif. But if it's anything less than that, it's not a miuta de miuta. 90% Rav. So Rameh holds that that's not a mevara. That's just a din hanoge. So Ruba v'chazak hashkulim. So Rabbanan and Rab Meir, they both agree. They just shift the percentages. And Meir says the only time Rav is mevara is when the miut against the Rav is a miut to the miut. It's extremely insignificant, like 99% Rav. So that's a birur. And the chazak is only a din hanoge. So Ruba v'chazak, Ruba adif. And the Chacham hold that even a Rav of 90% is also, that's included in what the Torah says, Acharam Lahat, that's a birur. But if you only have a Rav of 51%, 55%, the Yidim and the Chachamim say that that's only a din hanoga. So they'll also agree that Ruba v'chazaka will be shkulim. So that's the Loshon HaGemara there. The Gemara says, Ein Sofik Moitzimi Dei Vadai. In those three mesichtes, it's the exact same sugya. So there the word sofik means, the word vadai means chazake. There's a chazake in the mekor, and the word sofik means a sofik haragil, a roib garua. Means a, ein sofik means a roib garua, usually ruba chazake, ruba adit, but if it's a roib garua, it's only 51%, 55%. So that Rav Garua, the Safik HaRogim, it's a Rav, but it's a weaker Rav, Rav Garua, is not Moitzimide Vada. You don't say Ruba Chazak or Ruba Ode if it's Shkulim. That's the meaning over there. In our Gemara, it means just the opposite. The word Safik means Chazaka. And Mide Vada, the Vada means the Rav. By us, the words are used in the opposite meaning. That's what Tosis is saying. The whole words mean different over here. What's the case in the Gemara? A man, before you shecht a behemoth or a chicken, so he's supposed to check the knife to make sure there's no pigimus in the knife. If there's going to be a sakon sheyesh bo pigima, so it's korea. It's not going to cut, it's going to rip. And if it rips, so then according to Rashi, it's a psul and a shchita. And according to Tosfos, who did Tosfos quote? The Aruch. What did Tosfos quote on the Kula Tanina on Tesam and Aleph? Who disagreed?
The Bahag.
So the Bahag's opinion is that that's Korea. That's not called Shechit at all, it's Korea. And Rashi learned the way Tosfos interprets Rashi. Tosfos interprets Rashi, no, if you shecht with a sack and peguma, that's called a Shechit b'psul. It's not called ripping. Not like if I take the animal, I break the neck like that, that's not called. If I do that in Mirut Basra, that doesn't pass. But Tosfos says if Yishech Pesach and Pegum according to Rashi, that would passel the Mir Basa. That's a Machlekes Achreinim. Shach quotes Machlekes Achreinim on the assumption that Shev Mir Basa passels that even the Mir Basa is Nitfas and Shechita, but that's only if you do Shechita B'Psul on the Mir Basa. So what if you do a Shechita with the Sak and Pegum? So according to Rashi, Shechita B'Sak, the way Tosfos interprets Rashi, Shchita b'sakam pekuma is a posel v'shchita. It's a shchita b'psul. It's called korea. So you can shech the miut basra with the sakam pekuma. It's like breaking the rest of the neck with your hands. Yeah. So the Gemara Bayas has like this. The shechet was bodik the sakin before he shechts. And then after he shechts, he uses the sakin to break bones. Shibibat samas kalayon. And then after, acharik echlos hakol, after he's using the knife to cut a lot of bones, he checks the sakin. Instead of checking the sakin immediately following the shechit of the behemoth or the chicken, he checks it immediately before, and then he uses the knife after the shechita to cut bones with it. And bones may, the likelihood is that they're going to make a pegima in the knife, and lo and behold, he finds a pegima in the knife. So do you have to be concerned, maybe the pegima was there? He checked the knife before he started to shech. So originally, we assume he checked it properly. But it could be shemibor or nivkema. Maybe the knife developed a pegima when it was cutting the hide of the neck before it got to the simonim, before it got to the kohen and the veshet. So if it already had a pegima before it cut the kohen and the veshet, then it will be a pasul l'shchita. So that's the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. So Rav Huna says, Gemara says, Rav Huna litai mei b'shleim Rav Huna kishmaitei. Rav Huna follows his shita. He was quoted on Daf Tesam and Alp Eime b'chea b'ches k'sis or emeres ha'shibor alach ma'man nishchato. So here there's a suffix in shchita. Was the sakan a peguma at the time of the shchita? So he says, whenever there's a suffix on the shchita, you go to chumah. So we understand Rav Huna. That's clear. We don't understand Rav Chisda. Why should Rav Chisda be mekel? So Rav Chisda, my time, why in the world? Why doesn't he agree with Rav Huna? See, Amalach, no, Rav Chisda has a logic. The etzem is vaday poigim. He was shiba bad samas kol ayayim. So what do you mean? The rive is, if you have a toss-up, I check the knife and I start a shechting the animal. So and then after I finish shechting, I use the knife to cut bones. Shiva, to cut bones. So would you attribute the pegima, and I see that there's a pegima and a knife. Do you think that the pegima was caused by the skin, by the hide, shema ba'or nivkema, before I got to the cut in the veshet, or do you think that the pegima was caused on the knife because of the shiba batzamas? The likelihood is, the rav is, that it's shiba batzamas afterwards. So you should attribute, Rav Chisda holds, you should attribute the pegima and the knife to the shiba batzamas afterwards. You should assume that the chazaka, he checked the knife before. So he assumed that the sakam was becheskas beduka. So the chazaka was good. And the rav is not, the behemah is becheskas sisar, it matters. Behemah b'chaya becheskas sisar. But the roif tells you, ruba b'chazaka, ruba orif. The roif tells you that the shibar atzamas after the shchita will probably cause the pegima on the knife. So you say, ruba b'chazaka, ruba orif. Behemah b'chaya, he also, Rav Chisda also agrees with Rav Huna. There's a din in behemah b'chaya becheskas sisar. But he holds that you follow the roif over here. Rav Chisda my time. Amaloch etzem vaday poigim. Vaday means a ruba. It's not a vaday. It's a ruba d'leisa kamon. If you want to know that you found the pegima on the knife after, at the end of the day, after everything was all over, was it caused by the shiba atzamas or by the chaticha sa'or? So the right is that it was caused by the pegimas, by the shvira atzamas. Etzem vaday poigim. That's a right. And or is a sofik pogim, sofik loy pogim, habi sofik vaday, ein sofik moitzi midei vaday. How do you translate the words? Ein sofik moitzi midei vaday. The word vaday means the roiv, etzem vaday pogim. The roiv is that the pegim on the sakam is caused by the shibibat somas. And the sofik means vein no pachaya, because this is sermenis. So here, you're using this expression. See, on the side, they tell you, Sochem Davtes, Avedizarim and Malaf, and Nida Tezval. Those are all the three Marmekaimis that Tes is quoted. And Yibamis, that's a totally different Gemara. But these three Gemaras have the exact same Sugi in three Masechtas. So there, the phrase means just the opposite. Ein Sofik Moitzim Midevada. Sofik means a Roiv Garua. Usually, Ruba Machazak, Ruba Adib. But if it's a Sofik, means it's a Roiv Garua. It's a Sofik Haragil, there's a Roiv. But it's only 51%. 55%. It's a shvacher roibs. Ein sofik moitzim idei vadai. Roib garua cannot beat out the chazoka. The vada means chazoka, and the sofik means the roib garua. In an argemar, it means just the reverse. Ein sofik moitzim idei vadai lahachmir means the vadai means the ruba d'leisa kamon. Shiba bat samas is the vadai. And the suffix means the behema b'chaya b'chestis hisabedis. The usage of the terminology is the opposite from what it means on the other gemara. There's no stira. Each gemara has the right to use expressions the way he feels free. You can talk whatever you want. See, on the side of the gemara, they tell you always where this exact verbatim, where this expression appears in another place. It's not always with the same meaning. It appears in the Gemara different place. It means different things. Taisa says it means different things. A lot of times there's an expression in the Gemara Bal Amor has in his Sefer Hatzova. The Bal Amor wrote the Asogas on the Rif, and then at the end of Chulin he has a comment that he calls the Sefer Hatzova. By us they didn't print it in the Bal Amor. They printed it in the Tmim Deim. Tmim Deim is a collection of the Chulas by the Ravid, and the Ravid in Bal Amor learned by Chavrusa. So in the Tmim Deim, the end of the Sefer Tmim Deim, they have the Sefer Hatzava of the Ravid, of the Bal Amor, that just like in Darshaning Chumash, there are Yud Gimel Midas, Atarin Nidreshes Bem, so the Yud Gimel Midas and studying Gemara also. So he gives you rules and exceptions to the rules. That the word Savrua on the first daf from Bava Basra, based on Mar Aleph, there's such a taste. Savrua is a technical term. It usually, Ruba de Ruba means the Bnei HaYeshiva thought that Pshat is like this, but then after a while they realized that it's incorrect. So there, that's an exception to the rule, the first half in Bava Basra. Savrua does mean that they thought and then they realized that it's wrong. It remains, that's the correct Pshat. It's not a rejected Havamina. It's the correct Pshat. So the Bal Amor writes, that's one of his clothes. Savrua usually means they had a Havamina and they rejected it. And every so often it's not rejected. And then he has about this also. Sometimes you have a Gemara, the exact same expression appears in two different Masechtas, and it doesn't mean the same thing. And sometimes you have totally different expressions, and it means exactly the same. And that's what learning is all about. That's what a Derech and learning is all about. You have to figure out, you have to know all the Dinim, you have to know 1,001 Dinim. Try to figure out which of the 1,001 Dinim are connected, even though the Loshan the Gemara is totally different. Like we were discussing the other day, etzemim mikan alah bohu nifsal is identical with the din of ein bitul alalach ediyas hatarugas. Reb Shemesh Kapp said that's exactly the same din, totally different lashanis, but it's based on the exact same idea. Whenever there's a din anoget, it's only noyed mikan alah bohu. So that's what the Bal Amor has. That sometimes you have the exact same lashan means a different thing. Like over here, ein sofin betzin levadai, the words mean opposites in the different mesichtas. Which word means rav and which word means chazaka? So here is the opposite from what it means over there. Ein safik moitzim idei vadai. The chazaka, the peyma b'cheya b'ches kesiso is called the safik because it's just the din hanoga, it's not a mevara. So the chazaka, the meikor, peyma b'cheya, is not moitzim idei vadai. Vadai means the rav, the atzomas, etzem is vadai poigim. That's a roiv. So ruba v'chazoke, ruba adif. That's what Rav Chisda holds. Ruba v'chazoke, ruba adif. So how do we paskin lahalocha over here? How do we paskin lahalocha? So that's the bottom thesis is very important. The bottom thesis is quoted by the Taz in Simon Aleph and Yeridea. This has three different shittas here. What did Rav Chisda say over here? Why is Rav Chisda makel? He says ruba v'chazaka ruba adeh. But what do you do with all the other gemaras that don't seem to say like that? So okay, but in that we'll have to take a look. The three shittas in the bottom thesis is important. How do we pass them over here? Okay. Tov.